so mic'd up in my life. I've been practicing this for 4 years. Thank you, Pastor Zawadzki.
Close enough.
Did I blow it?
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Pastor Rich. Thanks. What a joy and honor to be here with you tonight. And Pastor said we don't swap sheep, but they do get stolen once in a while.
Glaring at Brother Horse, amen. Now he's glaring at me, amen. And yet he came.
Yeah.
And wait, I forgot something.
Uh-oh.
Here's the offering for you, so take that back, would you, amen?
What? We're not going to pay you when you come.
Wait. I'll come anyway.
All right. Well, we are absolutely delighted to be here with you this evening. I consider this a tremendous honor. Good to see so many friends once again here. This reminds me of the Philippines and all the outdoor services and revivals that we have in the Philippines. It's going to be a good night tonight. Now, I'm not going to say anything that you haven't heard before, seriously. What I'm going to share with you tonight is as absolutely as basic as it gets. But it's what God told me to share with you tonight. And when I told our folks they're probably going to hear the shortest message that I've ever preached, I was serious about that. Now, I have been known to lie once in a while. However, I don't think this is going to take a long time this evening for me to share what God has...
It's all right, brother.
It's all right?
He's on it.
Has put on my heart. So take your Bible with me and turn to Revelation chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Hope you love the book of Revelation. There's a special blessing attached to this great book that if we will read and hear and apply the teachings of the book of the Revelation, that there will be a special blessing that God will bring into your life. And the seven churches are a great study in the book of the Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, we have the church at Ephesus. And I just want to pull out a couple verses here. Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Number 2, repent. Number 3, return. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." I've entitled the message tonight, Revival. Listen to me. It's the only hope we have left. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word tonight. Stir our hearts. Help us to realize how important it is to have personal revival in our own lives. In your name we pray. Amen. I think you all would agree with me that we are living in a day and age when the Church of Jesus Christ has abandoned its first love. The Bible doesn't say that they lost their first love. The Bible says they left. That means they stepped away from their first love for the Lord. And yet there's three elements here that I believe are the missing ingredients to revival. The reason we are not having revival today, and we are in desperate need of revival, as we have never been in need of revival in this land, is because we are missing these three key elements. He said, "Remember from whence thou hast fallen." Right. Number 2, he said, we have to repent. And number 3, he says we have to return and do the first works. That is, we go back to doing the things we once did when we were in love with Jesus and first saved. Remember how it was when you first got saved. How excited you were about being born again. How you couldn't wait to go to church and be around God's people and read the Word of God and sing the good old gospel songs. You loved it. And yet something's happened to us. And we have left our first love. Someone has said revival is when Christians clean up their lives. Listen to me, Christians. We need to clean up our lives tonight. when Christians clean up their lives, repent of their sin, and turn back to God with their whole heart in a new commitment to Him, to follow Him as never before. I think that is a perfect definition of revival and how desperately that we need it. I also believe that true revival is the only answer to the overwhelming problems that we are facing as a nation. To the problems that we are facing as a church. To the problems we are facing as our families are a mess.
Yes. Amen. Yes, sir.
And the problems we're facing as individuals. The only answer is revival. I think that you would agree with me that the evidences of our need of revival are everywhere. I mean, just stop and think of a few things with me from the recent opening of the Satanic Temple in Detroit, where a satanic altar was erected and was worshipped. And they called Satan their Lord and Savior. He is not their Lord and Savior. It's hard to believe that just down the road from us, just a few miles, is a satanic temple. We would have never thought that that was possible just a few years ago. You think of how our children, every time I drive by a public school, my heart grieves and aches for those young people in that public school. For in that public school, they are indoctrinated in humanism and socialism and atheism. To think that our public schools have become temples to prostitute our young people. The murder of over 56 million babies. You don't think God looks at this with a broken heart and with judgment on His mind? When we now see the videos, and I'm sure most of you have seen the videos of Planned Parenthood, some 8 videos have now come out and been released. And to see these ladies. The Bible said there will come a time when we will no longer have natural affection. To see women laugh over harvesting the parts of these aborted babies. To laugh over how a aborted baby's heart was still beating and how they removed the face and went in and took out the brain. And then to even have that in a debate, to say that we as pro-life people should not be against it because those body parts are going to research, which is going to save lives. How perverted and corrupted have we become? The legalization of same-sex marriage is an abomination in the eyes of God. The silencing of the church. The increase of persecution among Christians just because they want to live out their faith and please the Lord. Fined and their business is shut down. We're talking America here. We have, since the year 2000, we have a 74% increase in mosques being built in America. We now have 126 mosques in the state of Michigan. At this same time, 4,000 churches close their doors every year. 3,500 people leave the church every day. 80% of our churches are now in decline. America today now has half the churches that it had 100 years ago. have? Why? Well, we've changed our Bible. We've changed our music. We've changed our message. Our churches have now become entertainment centers. And as a result, we are spiritually bankrupt, both morally and spiritually as a nation. The Bible says, well, it was Peter that talked about how Lot vexed his righteous soul. This righteous man dwelling among them vexed his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing the unlawful deeds of the men of Sodom. But then Peter went on to say, but judgment must begin in the house of God. I believe that we are in the condition that we're in today because judgment has not begun in the house of God. May it begin in the house of God tonight. It's our only hope. The Bible tells us that churches and individuals alike are to be salt and light in the midst of a crooked and adulterous generation. If that is true, that we are the salt and we are the light, then I'll tell you something, we've lost our saltiness. And our light has almost been put out. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, Christian, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. Jesus said, salt is good. I love salt. Do you like salt? Salt brings food alive. I love salt. These salt substitutes, these folks that are afraid to die because of high blood pressure, because of salt, get right with God. The absent from the body is present with the Lord. Bring on the salt. Are we having watermelon tonight? Bring on the salt. Jesus said, salt is good. But if salt has lost his saltiness, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Have salt in yourself. What does salt do? Salt creates a thirst. When was the last time our churches, when was the last time we as individuals created a thirst in the lives of others for the things of God? Salt not only creates thirst, salt preserves. We're not preserving very well. I believe that the greatest need in the world today is not a new president and administration. But we need a new president and administration. Give me an amen there. We've seen the effects of what happens when the wicked are in authority. But whoever we get in Washington will not be the answer or the cure to the problems that we face. The greatest need in the world today, the greatest need in my life and in your preacher's life and in this church, in our church, is revival. Amen. Revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. I want to tell you something. I've been in a lot of churches. Most churches, most independent fundamental Baptist churches are dead as a doornail. I thank God for being in a lively church. Hearing amen, singing the good old gospel song, seeing people saved, seeing the altar still open. Yeah. You're hard pressed to find a church that gives an altar call anymore. What has happened to us? The prophet said, revive thy work in the midst of the years. I believe that God wants to breathe a breath of revival on America today. Again, I haven't lost hope in that. The Bible says, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." Listen, He says, "I dwell in a high and holy place with Him also," listen, "that is of a contrite and humble spirit," to revive the spirit of the contrite ones. You see, we don't even know what that word means. But God's Word says the only way revival will come is when His people, that's you and I, Fellowship, Loomis, it is only when we become contrite before the Lord that revival even has a possibility of breaking out. So what does it mean to be contrite? Revive the heart of the contrite ones. The word, are you still with me? The word contrite means remorseful, repentant, penitent, regretful, sorrowful, apologetic, sheepish, ashamed, shamefaced, conscience-stricken, guilt-ridden, emotionally broken. We don't see this contrite spirit in our country anymore. It is not unusual when I finish preaching in the Philippines, your preacher can attest to this, that the altar will be absolutely full. There will be hardly anyone left under the tent or the covered court or the church auditorium. There'll just be people on their face before the Lord. And when they get up and go back to their seats, there'll be puddles of tears. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 51. I told you, I'm not going to say anything you haven't heard before. Psalm 51, we find David's prayer of confession. And usually when we read Psalm 51, we read verse 1 through verse 12. You know verse 12, "Restore unto me." Are you with me? Restore, say with me, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." And we stop. But the chapter does not stop there. Look at verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a what? Broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." In Psalm 39, or 139, David said these words, "Search me." Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Have you ever noticed that when we preach on revival and the importance of revival, and we say our nation needs revival, we all break out and say? When we say our churches need revival, we all say? When we say we need revival individually, we all say? But when we say you need revival, we say, "Oh my." We do. We see that our nation needs revival and our churches need revival. We see that other people need revival, but we never, ever see that we need revival. David said, "Search me." We find it easy to examine others, but not ourselves. We find it easy to judge others, but not ourselves. Jesus said, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thine eye, or thy brother's eye? Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye'?" Now the difference between a mote and a beam is a splinter and a railroad tie. We're looking at the little splinters that are in our brother's eye. We can see them clearly, but we can't see the beam that is in our own eye. Listen, it keeps... Please! It keeps us blinded to our own true spiritual condition before God, and that's the problem. If my people will humble themselves, then will I hear from heaven. We can see clearly the backslidings in the lives of others, but we are blind to it in our own personal life. It's true of me. And I don't know if it's true of you, preacher. Probably not. You're a much better preacher than I am. The Bible says the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. We're going to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. I love Jeremiah over and over again. He said, "Return. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord." Praise God for His mercy and His grace. "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." Are you married to Christ tonight? Are you married to Christ tonight? Are you His bride? Loved by Him? Then why have we committed such spiritual adultery against the one who loved us and gave His life for us? God, forgive us. I said this morning in church that I came across this. It's called 28 Evidences of Backsliding. And I said I was going to preach on 28 evidences of backsliding tonight, and it was going to be the shortest message I've ever preached. And Brother Wright got up behind me and said, "I'd like to see that." You're going to see it, brother. Would you listen as I read? When prayer ceases to be an important part of the Christian life, backsliding is present. When your desire for biblical truth ceases and you become content with the Bible knowledge that you have, backsliding is present. When the biblical knowledge that you have is not applied, backsliding is present. When sports, recreation, entertainment become a large and necessary part of your lifestyle, backsliding is present. When acquiring money and possessions becomes the dominant part of your thinking, backsliding is present. When you can mouth religious songs without heart, backsliding is present. When you can watch degrading movies, television programs, and read morally debilitating literature, backsliding is present. When division among brothers and sisters in Christ is of no concern to you, backsliding is present. When the slightest excuse keeps you from being faithful to church, backsliding is present. When serving the Lord is no longer seen as your duty, when you become content with your lack of spiritual growth, when there is little or no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, when there is no longer a song in your heart, the silence of that testifies that backsliding is present. When you conform to the world's lifestyle, in your clothes, in your hair, in your style of dress, in your attitudes, in your music, in your entertainment, and your friendships, backsliding is present. When your tears dry up and your heart becomes cold to spiritual things, the hardness of your heart testifies that backsliding is present. When giving to the Lord's work is no longer a joyful experience, When you no longer desire times of fellowship with God's people. When you no longer hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you stop your ears at the preaching of the Word of God. When you have unresolved conflicts in your personal relationships and you're unwilling to forgive and reconcile. When you're not adding to your faith, when you have left your first love, when you are not denying ungodliness and worldly lust, when you are rebellious toward God-given authority, especially your preacher. When you no longer desire to read the Word of God, when you no longer are concerned about the salvation of the lost, when you are willing to compromise biblical truth for personal gain. When you are no longer concerned over your own spiritual condition. Backsliding is present. Do we need revival?
Amen.
Prophet Zechariah said this, preacher, I'll turn over to you. He says, but they refuse to hearken. Don't be like that tonight. They refused to hearken. This is what he said. They pulled away their shoulders. Have you ever seen a rebellious teen and a parent lovingly puts his hand on their shoulder and they just jerk their shoulder away? They refused to hearken. They pulled away their shoulders. They stopped their ears. And then it says this, that they should not hear me. Would you hear what God is saying to you tonight? The only hope that's left for us is revival. And it's got to start here. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, Pastor.